Amen. Open a Bible, if you would, to John chapter 13. That's where we're going to land a little bit later, John chapter 13. Let me give you a quick note of housekeeping. As we get ready to do the Lord's Supper in a little while, we'll come to the end of the service, and the deacons are going to join me here at the front, because the way we do it is we come to you. We bring you those smaller trays, and they've got just little pieces of bread, little pieces of wafer in there, and it's unleavened, but it's not gluten-free. And some of my friends have said, you know what, I want it. I need it. Right over here, there's some gluten-free. And my friend Ruth, if you need gluten-free, if you want gluten-free, I don't mean to single you out, but if you need that, if you would just kind of let her know when we get ready to serve the Lord's Supper, she'll come to you and get it independently of the rest of everything that's going on. So you just let her know. You just flag her down. She'll come to you with it, okay? And so if you didn't get it and the guys are coming your way and you just let one of them know, hey, I need that, they'll try to get Ruth's attention. Anyway, it's going to be okay, okay? Ready? Because we don't want anybody to be left out. That's the thing. We don't want anybody to feel like today was for everybody but me. Because sometimes that's how people feel when it comes to the Lord's Supper. You know, and that's why, honestly, I mean, I have in the past at times pointed out the grape juice is just grape juice, honest. Because I've got some precious friends who honestly, they've been sober for X number, right, of days, weeks, maybe months, maybe years. But they know I am not above falling. And I just want you to know, it's juice, it's just juice, right? It's a cracker, it's just a cracker. But if you need something different, we're going to serve you. Because we don't want anybody to feel left out. Because you may have come in to the room not ready for this. But guess what? Ready or not, here we are. So I want to give you this verse. We're going to unpack this a little more in just a couple of minutes. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's no more important message than that. And honestly, if you came in today not ready, guess what? God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were not ready, even though you might have walked in here not ready, you may have walked in here this morning regretting decisions you had already made this morning. While we were still sinners, while we were still powerless, while we were still lost, God sent his son and he died for us. Guys, this is a message. This is about remembering grace received. Because here's what I know. The longer some of us are in the faith, the harder it is for us to remember just what we were saved from. Can anybody? Come on. Somebody's got to see what I'm talking about. The harder it is sometimes when we've been in the faith for a long time to remember, you know, just how amazing this grace is that came to even me, right? And so we got to be reminded from time to time. We got to press the reset button from time to time. This is a message about remembering grace received. It's a message about what it means to be fed by Jesus, what it means to be led by Jesus, what it means to live in that conversational intimacy with God, where God meets you where you are. And he says, I love you so much, but I love you too much to leave you where you are. Yeah? So I'm going to take you to myself. I'm going to lift you in my arms. I'm going to carry you. This is a message about living ready, right, for God to show up. Living ready for the presence of God to just sort of be unmasked in your presence. In fact, a good prayer would be, Lord, in Jesus' name, right? Let me just pray this over. So in Jesus' name, Lord, would you pull back the veil? Would you pull back the veil of the enemy's lies? Would you pull back the veil of the distraction and the busyness, Lord, in Jesus' name? Would you pull back the veil so that we could see you? So guys, Lord's Supper is all about remembering what Christ has done, right? The tagline in the New Testament for the Lord's Supper, for the body broken and the blood shed, the tagline is, this do in remembrance of me. Every time you eat it, every time you drink it, every time you engage all the senses, the see, the touch, the taste, the feel. Every time you engage it, remember what I have done. Every time. every time. So, are you ready? Here's the questions. Here's the questions I want you to just hold in abeyance for a few minutes. Just for a few minutes, right? Here's the things I want your heart to work on over these next few minutes. Are you ready to remember what Christ has done? Are you ready to remember his grace? Are you ready to remember what it is you've been saved from? Are you ready to remember what it is you've been saved for? Are you ready to remember? Question number two. Are you ready to receive? There are an awful lot of us. There are an awful lot of you. You would give somebody the shirt off your back. If you knew there was a need, you would meet it. You would meet it as quick as you possibly could. But you're slow to say, here's what I need. Here's what I need. And I'm just telling you, today's a day for you to say, Lord, I need you. I am hungry for you. I am desperate, maybe. Is that you? I'm desperate for you. Today's the day. Today's the day. Are you ready to receive it? Because ready or not, I just want to take you to Romans chapter 6 for a second. We're going to land in John 13 a minute, and that's where you've already turned. But here's what it says in Romans chapter 6. It says, you see, at just the right time. That's telling language, right? Ready or not. At just the right time, when we were still powerless. There's a power differential, right? While we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That would be you. That would be me. It's not just the society of the oops, right? We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We are all alike under this condemnation. And whether you want to believe it or not, there's something in you that just knows it, isn't there? While we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. Which if he left it there, it would leave you and me both wondering, have I been good enough? It would leave both of us wondering. It would leave both of us wondering, what must I do to have eternal life? What must I do to do the works God requires? What is required of me? Trouble is, if that's where you live, you wind up falling to the lowest common denominator, right? You just find the minimum requirements and you just live there. It's zero-sum thinking, right? It's zero-sum thinking that says, I don't have to be as good as everybody. I just need to be in the top 49 percentile. If that's what it falls to, come on. No. At just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. It's the verse we saw a minute ago. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let me just invite you. Can you own that? Can you own that? We ask little kids before we take them through the waters of baptism, we ask them, do you know what sin is? Oh, yeah. Any three-year-old knows what sin is, right? Right? They have a high bar for what's fair or what's right or what's just. Everybody knows what sin is. You ask a kid, do you know what sin is? Oh, yeah, I know what sin is. I've got a sister. Right? I know what sin is. And then you ask the next question, are you a sinner? No. I have a sister. And honestly, it's not until you and I reach that place where I can say, no, I know what sin is. I know what sin is. And I know I'm a sinner. I know. I try hard to make sure nobody else knows how I've fallen short of the glory. but I know. Yeah, I'm a sinner. Until you can own that, honestly, you're not welcome at the table. Sorry. I mean, this is a table reserved for sinners. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You got John chapter 13? John chapter 13 is Jesus, he's getting ready to go to the cross, right? He's gathered the disciples together for the Last Supper. He's got them together. I mean, this is the stuff of masterpieces, right? Jesus gathered with his disciples. Put this in the context. It's totally different. Put this in the context of your family gathering that's coming up, right? The table spread, right? Jesus gathers the disciples together. John chapter 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew. The thing that struck me as I was reading this is over and over in John chapter 13, it'll say, Jesus knew. Jesus knew. Here's what Jesus knew. Jesus knew. Can I tell you something? You come to church on Sunday, you put on your Sunday best, you put on your Sunday smile, you get out your Sunday Bible, you do all the things. But can I tell you something? Jesus knows. Jesus knows. It was just before the Passover, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus knew. Now, there were other times when Jesus would be asked for this miracle or that, and he would say, my time has not yet come. My time has not yet come. My time is not yet come. But this time it says Jesus knew that his hour had come. It was time. Ready or not, it's time. Jesus knew that the hour had come, and he knew. He knew that he loved his own. That bunch of misfits gathered around the table there. Jesus knew he loved his own. He loved the ones who had loved him, right? He loved the ones who had followed him. He loved the ones who had come hungry after him. He loved his own. And it says, this is good news for you. It's good news for me. He loved them to the end. He didn't just love them as long as they were lovable. Because anybody can be lovable for a little while, right? He didn't just love them as long as they were lovable. He loved them to the end. Jesus knew. And we go on. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted. But by the way, did you know the devil's here prompting you right now? Did you know that? Did you know that the enemy of your soul is right here in this room accusing you in this moment? Causing you to think, I won't decide until those plates come before me whether or not I will receive that. I'm trying, but I reserve the right to let it pass. That's the lie of the enemy. Anyway, the evening meal was in progress. The devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Verse 3, Jesus knew. That the Father had put all things under his power. Jesus knew that he had come from God and was returning to God. He had nothing to lose and nothing to prove. Can I offer you a little freedom in this moment? You got nothing to prove. Nobody's going to look at you when you receive that wafer as it comes by or that cup as it comes. Nobody's going to look at you and say, Wait a minute, are you on the naughty list or the nice list? Nobody's going to do that. Jesus, because he knew who he was, because he knew who God made him to be, because all of that had been put under, he had nothing to lose because nobody could take it from him, and he had nothing to prove because he was already beloved by the Father. You, my precious friend, honestly, you got nothing to lose. You got nothing to lose by following Jesus, and you got nothing to prove to him. You don't have to prove to him that this time's different. You don't have to prove to him that you're never going to fall into the same hole again. You got nothing to lose. You got nothing to prove. But because Jesus knew these things, Because Jesus knew these things, it says that he was willing. He got up from the table. He got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing. He wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Such a picture of servanthood you never see anywhere else. You never see the leader of any other major world religion doing that. You never see anybody else doing that, right? I love it. The next scene unfolds as he's going around, and Peter, you know, Peter is Jesus, you know, leader of the pack, you know, and he says, "Oh, you're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus just is like, "You know, Peter, it's not about you. Let me wash your feet, or you got nothing to do with me." Everybody needs their feet washed. If you walked in here this morning and you said, "I got some junk," guess what? Welcome to the club. Nobody in here doesn't have some junk. Jesus says to Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you got no part with me. And then Peter says, "Well, in that case, my head, my hands as well." Jesus, don't become dramatic, Peter. Don't. This is not a drama moment. Let's just go with this, man. Just let me love you. Just let me love you. Just let me serve you. Just let me meet you where you are. And some of you need that piece of good news today. You're not starting from scratch, but you're not where you need to be either. And so in this moment, for you to say, "God, I get it. I get it. This is a moment for me. You're meeting me in this moment. God, make me ready. God, wash me. God, I'm sorry. God, cleanse me. God, forgive me." And it may prompt you to say, as soon as we're done here, there's a conversation I need to have with my wife. As soon as we're done here, there's a conversation I need to have, an apology I need to make to my kid. It may prompt lots of things. But in this moment, Jesus is saying, let me meet you. Let me serve you. Let me come alongside you. Let me just leap ahead a little bit. John chapter 13, verse 18. Here's what Jesus knew. He says, "Look, I'm not referring to all of you." He says, "I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill the passage of Scripture that says, 'He who shared my bread has turned against me,' because you know what Jesus knew? Jesus knew one of you is going to betray me. One of you is going to betray me." And it says, Jesus, he says, "I know those I have chosen." Can I tell you something? Oh, this might be really good news for you. This might be really good news for you. You have not duped Jesus into thinking you're a saint. I mean, you came to Jesus, right? You asked Jesus in your heart. You got baptized. You joined the church, all that stuff. You did not dupe Jesus into thinking you're better than you are. You know, he knows. He knows. He says, "I know whom I have chosen." And he chose some very unlikely people. Anybody else? Crowd participation? Yeah, I see that hand. Absolutely. He chose some very unlikely. "I know whom I've chosen, and I know one of you is going to betray me. I know it. I know it. I know one of you is going to betray me." But here's what they couldn't know. Jesus knew his hour had come. He knew that God had put all of this under his power. He knew where he'd come from and where he was going. He knew his own, and he loved them to the end. He knew. There were things Jesus just knew. "I know the ones I've chosen, and I know one of you is going to betray me." But what they couldn't know, it says this, his disciples, it says here, stared at one another at a loss to know which one of them he meant. Can I interpret that for you? It wasn't that they were at a loss to know which one would betray him. They were at a loss to know which one he was talking about. Because the fact is, they had all betrayed him in one way or another. And likely they would do it again. Here's the deal. Everyone, he had washed everyone's feet. Everyone's feet had been washed already. You know what that means? That means Jesus had washed the feet of the one he knew who was going to betray him. Does that rock your world at all? He said, I'm going to be betrayed by the one who shares this bread with me. But everybody had shared the bread. They had all had their feet washed. They had all shared bread with Jesus. And everyone had failed him already. And everyone would do it yet again. And that everyone includes you. And that everyone includes me. And if you're waiting to join Jesus at the table till you know you can get it right, you will never, ever come. But here's the deal. It wasn't about them. It was about him. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, he died for us. It wasn't about them. It wasn't about a second chance or a fifth chance or a 400th chance. It wasn't about them. And it's not about you. It's about him and his faithfulness and his openness and his love for you and his grace and his mercy. So here's the question. Are you ready? Are you ready to remember where you came from? Because until you can remember where you came from and where it was that God met you, you're going to keep comparing today against perfect. Instead, you need to compare today against then. Are you ready to remember? Are you ready to remember the grace received? Are you ready to receive it again? Are you ready to receive it again as if it were the first time? With that same amazement that God would love even me.